They're passing out the breakfast now, and so we'll give everyone a few minutes to enjoy their breakfast, but we just wanted to say hi. I'm Artis Bazin, one of the co-chairs of the membership committee. And Rhonda's here, and Ken Mitz, the PR chair, is also here in the room. I don't know, would we like to go around with the mic and let everybody know who's here while the servers are serving? Would you like to enjoy that? Okay. Okay. Okay, a gentleman is going to walk around for me. Yes, a gentleman.
Of course, Perry. This is it.
Hold on.
Okay, we'll start now? Okay. Okay, you're next.
Christy Crespin, Active Blind Inland Valley Chapter.
Melody Banks in Active Blind Inland Valley Chapter.
Jesse Lorenz, San Francisco Chapter.
Pat LaFrance Wolf, San Gabriel Chapter.
Ken, you want to do it again?
Ken Metz, Greater Los Angeles Chapter.
Okay, Pam Metz, President, Greater Los Angeles Chapter.
And we'll just go ahead back to Rhonda. Go ahead and say hi.
Rhonda King, ACB Capital Chapter.
Miles Tomasero, Hawaii.
Julia Toyama, Hawaii.
Hey, how you doing?
Warren Toyama, Hawaii.
Norman Ota, Hawaii, thank you.
You have mouthful. I'll come around.
Kevin Berkery, Glendale Burbank Chapter.
You ready? Crunch, crunch.
Anthony Mora from Los Angeles.
Let's see. Okay.
Good morning, Keith Okazaki, Hawaii.
Okay, people could be just a little bit patient and quiet so we can hear people because sometimes they don't get the mic close to the president's here. Look out.
Marlene O'Neill, Bayview Chapter.
Steve Fort, Bayview Chapter.
Lee Morton, San Diego Chapter.
Linda Castle, San Diego Chapter.
Doug Martin, San Diego Chapter, but I did live in the islands for 9 years, so aloha.
Jeff Tom.
Barbara Cron, Redwood Empire Chapter.
Beryl Brown, Redwood Empire Chapter.
Lorraine Brown, Silicon Valley.
Tracy Gaines. Kathy Schmidt Whitaker, Orange County.
Good morning, everyone. This is Peggy Martinez from the Humboldt Chapter.
This is Lewis Preston from the Greater Long Beach Chapter in the spectacular city of Long Beach, California.
Linda Porrell, San Francisco Chapter, up till 2:30 with Resolutions Committee.
Well, it sounds like we have some people with stamina here. I know Ken was from Resolutions, too, so... Well, welcome, everyone. I'm really glad to see we have a nice group this morning, bright and early, because we have a fantastic speaker. I belong to a couple of speaker organizations because that's also what I do for a living. And consequently, I contacted one of my contacts, Susan Levin, from Speaker Services, and asked her if she could help me out finding a good PR person to come and talk to us, because I think one of the things that would really help membership growth in the California Council of the Blind is more positive PR about CCB and our members. So she gave me the name of Anthony Morrow, and I've talked to him a couple of times, found out a lot of exciting things about him. In fact, if you read the email about him, wow, he sounds pretty dynamic. He's been in all kinds of print articles, and he's been speaking throughout the country, and he's from Los Angeles. At least that's where he lives now. I don't know if he was born and raised here, but but I will give the microphone to Anthony, and he can tell you a little more about himself. Yes, sir. Oh, he stepped out a minute. Okay. Well, then we'll have to wait a second for that. But anyway, but I think it's something necessary for CCB. We need to start to do more public relations publicity about our events and about some of our members to highlight importance of CCB and how being a part of CCB can help each person in their own personal life throughout their daily struggles, especially for newly blinded people. I think we really need to start trying to reach newly blinded people and students, et cetera. So I'm glad you were all interested in the topic because it's an important topic. And we'll first start with the speaker, and then after he's finished, then we'll do a couple of business items for membership and PR to kind of touch base with where we are and what maybe actions for the future. But I wanted to first allow the speaker to speak because I think that's obviously the highlight of this morning's seminar. Okay, so we'll now allow Anthony to come up and he can tell you a little bit more about himself and then share some wonderful words of wisdom.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. And so my name is Anthony Mora. I'm president and CEO of Anthony Mora Communications. And I'm the author of a book called Spin to Win, which is a book on PR. Since we don't have that much time, what I'd like to do is go over the basics of what PR is, how it works, and then open up the floor to questions, because I'm sure that there are particular specific questions that you'd like to have answered. And so first let me just cover the basics. And just kind of a basic overview on me. I began as a journalist writing for various publications. I wrote for Us Magazine and Rolling Stone, and then worked as an editor. So I was on the other side. I had PR people pitching me all the time, and I very quickly found out what didn't work, which was as important as finding out what did. And then I jumped to the other side of the fence and started a PR firm and quickly figured out that what PR is about is good storytelling. What the media is looking for are stories. People have the misconception that they have either a great product, a great service, a great whatever, and that the media is going to be dying to do that. I can't tell you how many people come to my company to sign, and they said, if you could just tell Oprah about this, she'd be dying to do this story. And that ain't true. What you need to do is figure out what that particular media that you're targeting is looking for, who their demographics are, who their readers are, who their listeners are, who their viewers are, and what's the story that they're going to resonate with. Then thinking backwards, you create your story. The important thing about PR is it's the only form of marketing out there that is legitimizing, validating, you become the news. It's not like advertising or direct marketing, which are both very important, but in those everyone realizes that the person has paid for that ad, paid for that mailer. In PR, you're a part of the story. So suddenly you are the news, and that's an incredibly legitimizing factor. You know, for example, if you hear an ad about a doctor, a commercial on the radio or on TV, it'll tell you about him, you'll learn about him. But if you hear him interviewed on CBS Morning News, you get a completely different perspective. He becomes the story. He becomes important. So by targeting your story as a PR story, you're positioning yourself that well, in the same way. Part of it, though, it's not easy. It's hard work, but it's all doable. You have to become creative, come up with a story that works, come up with, think in headlines. Think that less is more. When contacting the media, it's not, a lot of people will send out huge press kits. My experience is if the media is looking and now interested in your story, then you can follow up with a press kit. But don't introduce yourself by sending a mass of information and material. Come up with a good one-page press release that basically tells your story, gets them interested. Think of it as the headline in a newspaper that makes the public buy the paper. It's the headline that does it. So think in headlines. You can always tell them the story later. A lot of times I'll have clients that are upset because they'll see our first press release and they'll say, well, you've left out so much of the story. And I try to explain, think of it as the first page in the novel. We'll tell the rest of the story down the line. Right now our job is to interest them. And then start thinking of your objectives. What do you want the PR to achieve? Because that'll define who your media is, where you're going to go to. I mean, if you're going to consumer publications, if you're going to trade publications, what are your objectives? Because that's going to define a lot of your media list. The other thing that PR can do is really help establish experts. So if you want to establish the organization or someone is the organization is the expert in the field, work to position that person that way. We worked with it was a long-term healthcare center, and that's a hard story a lot of times for the media because it has to do with dementia and Alzheimer's, and it's a very important story, but it was one that was a hard sell. And this is kind of a good example of how to think outside the box and come up with a story that'll work. It is basically what I did is I noticed that there was a small dog at this long-term center, and I watched that the dog would follow a nurse from room to room. So I wrote a release as the dog is the employee, and the dog didn't see wheelchairs, and the dog didn't see old age, and the dog didn't care about dementia, and turned it into a warm, fuzzy story. And it worked amazingly. We got the LA Times, we got the New York Times, we got Time Magazine, we got NPR. And what we did was shift the focus, so we gave them a way to come to the story. Now, if I'd been with another client, you know, I've got to be honest, that client could have said, I didn't hire you to write a release about a dog. And I would have understood that argument. But by allowing me to go outside the box, we were able to come up with a media story that worked for the media. And that's, if you can take anything away from today, I would hope that's the most important part. Because you're going to have certain preconceived ideas of this is my story, this is the way it has to be told, and this is the only way I'm going to tell it. And start thinking outside of that. If you're going to regional media, for example, regional media loves regional stories. If there's a human interest story that has to do with your general area, use that. That's not going to work nearly as well for national media. National media wants it to hit a national trend. But if you get regional media to do a story that has to do with a human interest story that's connected to your region, then you get that story published. You can then turn around and use that story to pitch the national story and to pitch it as a trend. National usually likes trend-type stories, something that is bigger than just the region that you're working on. It's possible to get those, but you have to position it that way. You know, whenever I'm pitching a Time or a Newsweek story, the editor will always remind me, we're going to California to Omaha, to Texas, to we're going all the way across the country, so don't give me a story that's completely L.A.-based. So if I give them a story, I have to show them how this particular L.A.-based story illustrates a trend that impacts the rest of the country. So as long as you can think that way, you can position it well. Your biggest tool, your most important tool, is your press release. At my company, there's a rule that it cannot exceed a page, because this is a real business where less is more. And we work with a lot of publishing companies, and we work in tandem with their PR firms, and they'll send out 2-3-page press releases, and it galls me because I just don't see the purpose for it. So keep it short. Figure out what you want to say, and then distill it to the main points. If you have numbers, if you have statistics that you can use, use them. The media likes numbers. Most magazines will always have the 7 or 5 top whatever reasons for whatever. And most of those numbers, to be honest, they just make up. But it grabs people's attention. Numbers mean that it's real, whether it is or not. That's the perception it gives. So if you have numbers, if you have statistics, if you have anything that's kind of like hard facts that you can bring into your story, use them. In the press release, remember, it's basically a very quick introduction. It's telling people, this is what I can basically talk about. Here are some of the angles we can address. But don't try to tell your whole story. You're talking in shorthand here, so keep that in mind. If you're not comfortable writing, find someone to work with that can help you with that. Because this is, like I said, this is your real calling card. So make sure to have other people read it. Read it aloud. Get a sense of how it flows, how it moves. Once you have your basic press release done, and we'll go over this a little more, then put together what's the basic media list you're going to go to. Let's say you're going to go to all of the media in your town. But let's say maybe you're also going to go to, just for the sake of discussion, say women's magazines. Well, you're going to want to change that press release a bit so that it meets both of their needs. But sometimes that's just a paragraph. It's something just to show that editor or that producer that you understand their needs. Because the one where you're going to lose them, if you're telling them, here's a great story you have to use, and if they don't get it, it's their turning you off right away. But if you're saying, here's a great story, and then in the same press release, put 1 or 2 other topics that you can address or that the organization can address, so that they realize you're pitching ideas. You're not pitching one concrete story, which is take it or leave it. You're pitching an expertise in this field. You're pitching different types of angles that they can talk to or talk about. Once you have your press release done, get your media list together. And there's different ways. There's services that will sell media lists. They're quite expensive. Really what I suggest is just doing your homework, finding the media that is your real target media, listening to the shows, looking, seeing what the magazines are reading, are writing. So you'll have a sense of who is their audience. Because a lot of times the reason stories don't work is a great story gets pitched, but it's to the completely wrong editor. You know, if you pitch a sports story to the beauty editor, good luck. And people do that. And it's sad because they've got what it needs. They've put everything together. They've just gone to the wrong place. So keep in mind that your target media list is as important as your PR and your story. Then coming up with your story is view yourself almost as though in third person, as though you're looking at who you are, or you're looking at the organization from outside the organization and start seeing how many different types of stories are there. And right now, completely think outside the box and keep in mind you don't have to use any of these stories, because some of them might be, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. But if you don't do that, you're just going to go with the obvious. And everybody else is going with the obvious right now as well. So the obvious stories, I can guarantee you, are being pitched to the media over and over again. If you step outside of the box and start looking at it, you're going to come up with stories that are unusual, stories that are specific to you, specific to your organization, may not be the exact story that you thought you wanted to tell. And that's the hardest thing to let go of. But that'll get you in the door. You know, going back to the long-term healthcare center, she certainly had no desire or conception of getting pressed for a dog. But, you know, we made, the dog name was Precious, I think, and we made her this star dog. But the next time I pitched this long-term healthcare center, it's called Vista del Sol, and I was able to put in the press release, Vista del Sol, who's been featured in the LA Times, the New York Times, Time Magazine, NPR. Suddenly the whole perception changed because the media wanted to know why. You know, why has this media been covering this story? So suddenly we were able to get a lot more media coverage because that story opened the door. Because PR is all about perception. It's the media perceives things a certain way. The public perceives things the way the media presents them. So if you can impact and if you can change the way the media presents a story, you're actually changing the way the public views a certain topic. So with what you're dealing with here, I think that's extremely important, because I think there's a lot of preconceived ideas that the public comes in with, that the media comes in with, where you could give them stories that they don't know are there. You can give them perceptions that they don't know exist. And for an editor or a segment producer, you're giving them a gift because you're giving them a whole new angle. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for something. It's interesting. They're looking to not go too far outside the box because they really don't like to take a risk. But at the same time, they're looking for that different angle. So really start seeing how many topics can you address? Are there changes in the organization? Are there changes in what's going on that maybe the media doesn't know about, maybe the public doesn't know about? Use those type of stories, because those are the stories that the media is going to understand is going to generate interest in their readers. The other thing is try and position it so that it affects the most number of readers or listeners or viewers imaginable, because that editor or that producer is going to go back to their boss, pitch the story, and they're going to be looking at how many people are going to be interested in this. So even if the story is a story that affects directly a few people, show how it affects a larger group, either in how it changes their perception, how they're going to view a topic, how they're going to learn something they didn't know about before. Remember to hook your pitch onto the larger story, because they're going to be looking at how many people are interested in this story. This could be a great story, but why are we going to run it? So whenever I'm pitching a story, I generally like to think backwards. I generally like to put myself in the position of that editor or that segment producer and think, and I'm always thinking, why would I want to do this? And if I can come up with all of the answers to knock down their objections, the story still might not go, but I gave them an appropriate story. The next time I go back, they're going to listen to me. The worst thing for the media is to give them a story that's completely inappropriate, or to tell them they have to run this story, or, God forbid, to tell them, if you don't run it, I'm going to your competition, which some people do, because they're going to say, great, thanks, and hang up. Because they are inundated. The last time I checked, Associated Press was receiving, it was between 200 and 300 faxes an hour, and these are just faxes. So if they're getting that, and they add that to the snail mail, and add that to the the online pitches, they're completely inundated. So you have to keep in mind that these people have so much coming at them that you really have to position this as a great information story, a great human interest story, an interesting entertainment story, something that's really going to grab their interest. But it can be done. And with PR, keep in mind PR isn't a sales game. You're not selling. You're giving them a good story. You're working as a part, almost as an adjunct of their editorial staff. And if you approach it that way, they'll listen to it. If you go in with a hard sell, they're not going to be interested because they're sold all the time. Come up with a list of ideas, as I said, and prioritize them from what you think are the most important ideas to the least important ideas. And then come up with separate releases. Also, keep in mind, are there seasonal stories you can tie into? Is there a story in the news that you can tie into? I'll do a lot of media on pop culture or on media. And so generally what I'm talking about is when, which happens an awful lot, is when celebrities screw up. So it's either, Britney Spears, Mel Gibson, Paris Hilton. Paris has gotten me more press than I should pay her. But so it's going on and talking about how she handled her PR wrong, her media perceptions. But I know that there is a story the media is going to cover anyway. So my job there is to give them an angle that I can talk about that they didn't have before. So there's taking advantage of a story that's already there. So if there's a story that's already in the media that you can somehow utilize, and pitch something that you're talking about, that's a great way to go because you know there's already coverage. Then write up your objectives and your timetables. Timetables are difficult in PR because it's a different kind of animal. It's not like advertising where you can buy an ad and you know it's going to run on a particular date or a particular time. This is really a cumulative process. I just have a perfect example. It hasn't happened to me in a long time, but a client who called, who we've been working with for 23 days, and she who was livid she hadn't been on Oprah yet. It's another Oprah story. And it's just perceptions are, they can get so askew. It doesn't work that way. The real challenge with PR is that sometimes it does. There have been clients who we've worked with that within the second day we've gotten a huge national story because all of the stars had aligned. Our story was right, the positioning was right, the timing was right. So the hardest thing about PR is to be patient, but to be prepared. Don't do your pitch, don't send out your press release, don't contact the media until you're really ready to deliver that story. We had one client where we pitched some story to the Today Show, and the Today Show said, great, let's run with it. I called the client, and the client said, well, I'm not ready to do that one yet. It's like, oh. So you never know. So don't pitch it until you're ready to do it. But at the same time, on the other side of the fence is, remember it takes some time. Don't get discouraged. And remember that a no is a no on that particular day from that particular editor to that particular pitch. It is not a no to your overall campaign, to your overall story. It takes, I forget what it was, 12 no's to get to a yes. So remember that, and don't take the no's personally. They're not directed or aimed at you. The media is just thinking, this doesn't work for me right now, I've got to move, you may have hit someone on a deadline. And so that's where persistence and creativity become so important. If you get a no, don't send that exact same release to that editor or that producer next week because they're going to think, this person's not listening to me at all. But you can send a different story with a different angle to that same editor. Give it a little time. But you can go back to them. Just don't go back to them with the same story. And be realistic in who's going to respond to your stories. Take the time to study the media, to know where you're going. And it's, you know, and sometimes it's hard. We have a, you know, we have a client going on Rachel Ray next week, and I've got to be honest with you, I've never seen the Rachel Ray show. I just don't have time right now, but I should. And that's really, I mean, my account executives have, but I really have to, you know, lock down time where I study the media, because that is, that's what it's all about. And each one has its different perspective. You know, the Oprahs and the Views, similar target markets, really different programs. Local media have different needs. So defining what your media is, and defining what your stories do. Do you solve a problem? Do you discuss a trend? Do you bring up a controversial topic? Do you debunk a myth? What is it that you're doing? Because your story has to do something. It has to have kind of a narrative. Like I said, this is storytelling that goes from A to Z. And different stories offer different things. So when you're pitching the story, figure out what your story is about. Don't just pitch it, because the media is going to ask you some questions. If the media is interested, they're going to start asking you some questions. And be ready for those questions. One of the things that we do at my company is media training to prepare people to go on the media. But if you can't, you know, do media training, what you can do is get a friend and have that friend start interviewing you as though they were the media. Get a list of questions where you get comfortable with asking questions that are a bit outside of your comfort zone. And the media is generally not going to be aggressive or an attack media. You're not going to get like a million Bill O'Reillys attacking you. But you will get media that doesn't understand your story and is going to ask questions that are a bit far afield. So you need to find a way that when someone asks the wrong question, that you give them the right answer. And that's a skill that can become developed. So that's something that you can generally work on with someone. You know, if you can get professional media training, that's great, but it's really not as important as just doing some practicing on that. So once you've got your press release, let's say you've got your press release done, it's then what do you do with it? It's funny, I'm going back much more now to regular mail, to snail mail than I used to. We still do email. We'll always be doing email pitches. But email, people are so inundated with emails now. And the delete finger is just so trigger happy that it's hard to get those through. So we will send email releases. We'll mail them out as well. We'll do some faxes, but seldom. I'll usually fax newsrooms on a breaking story, but I don't use faxes that much. Then the second part, which is the part with the most landmines, is doing phone follow-ups. And the media will tell you, do not do that. Send the press release. If we're interested, we'll call you. Ignore them completely. Because they're not going to see your press release. I mean, we've been doing this for 15 years, and whenever I get a story placed strictly off a press release, I am shocked. Because just the fact that it got to the person that I wanted it to get to surprises me. So it is important that you do follow-up calls. And like I said, everyone will tell you, don't do that. It alienates the media. But believe me, you need to do it. And what you're calling up for, so that they don't feel pushed, you're just calling up to see, did they receive that press release? So you're calling up politely. You're letting them know that you're not calling to take much of their time, and you're calling to say, I sent you this press release. I just want to make sure you received it. That would generally give you an opening to give a 3 or 4 second description of what the press release is about. But without that phone call, it's rough. I mean, things may get picked up, but as the and it's true, the main thing is you don't know that they saw it. And they're getting so many every day that chances are if they did see it, they just moved it aside. So if you do call them, and you're professional, and you're polite, and you keep in mind that they're on a timetable, and a lot of times in the call, the first thing I'll ask is, are you in a deadline? Did I catch you at a bad time? And if so, it'd just be, well, I'm just quickly calling just to see that you received the email. Suddenly, they're going to pay attention to it. It doesn't mean you're going to get a story, but that means you've moved way up to the top of the line there. And be prepared, though, because if you call and they did see the press release or they asked for it, and then they start saying, well, tell me about this, be prepared to tell them. Because I've had, I've trained people to do their own campaigns, and I've had people who have called, and they're just calling to find out did they get it, but they haven't prepared for if the media says, okay, tell me about it. They're thinking, oh, my God, I just called to see if they got it, and now they're telling me they got it, and they're asking me questions, and I'm not ready. So be ready, because if the media did receive it and then they are interested, this is your pre-interview. And the pre-interview is every bit as important as the actual interview, because this is going to be what decides whether they're going to do the story or not. So when you call, have what I call a cheat sheet in front of you that has all of the reasons why they should do the story. If this angle doesn't work, it's, well, you know, we could also do this. We also have this available. Maybe ask them what they're working on that maybe you can add an angle to. But do get a target, and you don't have to call every media that you send it out, but the target media that's really important to you, call them. Or find somebody who, if you're not comfortable on the phone, because that's a talent. It's not one of my favorite things in the world, calling the media, I'll tell you. The phone isn't my favorite vehicle of communication. But you do need someone to make that call, to know that they've received it, to know that you got it where you want it to go. Because otherwise, you've sent it and you're just waiting, and that may have gone straight to the trash can. So go ahead and do that. Follow it up. And then have a list of other short media releases that you're going to start following up with. Let's say that you've called and the media says, we want it. We want to do it. Okay, now you go into panic mode for a while because suddenly you're on the spot. So you have to get ready. So again, this is where the media training comes in. Practice what your story is. Practice being interviewed. Practice knowing your story, and so that you can present that in the most interesting way to the media. If it's a phone interview or if it's a print interview, those will generally be done over the phone. So if there's a way that you can have notes that you can refer to, do it. Because you have the luxury of being able to do that in those kind of interviews. TV is a whole other animal. With TV, you are on the spot, and there's no notes. It's just doing it. The other thing with TV is keep in mind, TV is a visual animal. So they're going to want something that offers that, something that offers that visual aspect. So think of that when you pitch it. Think of how you can present it to them in that way. And something that teaches, that gives something different, gives them a different approach. I would think a lot of what you would have to offer is changes in people's preconceived ideas. And those are big stories. Those are stories that the media really wants to see. And so in a nutshell, those are the basics of it. Is remember, it's the story, and that it's presenting it in the right way, and it's presenting it with an remember, who is going to be the spokesperson? If the media says, I want to do this story, who are they going to interview? Are they going to interview you? Or are they going to interview, are you pitching somebody else? And position that person as the expert who can really do it and have that expert ready. And yeah, there's a question back there. Go ahead. I've gotten much more into putting the press release to putting it almost on the press release itself. So as we'll just put a small image on the press release. If there's other photos to send out, I would wait until you get the interest. Go ahead. Right. It is, but I don't pay any attention to it. But for example, if you're going to put a press release on PR Newswire, which is a service, or Business Wire, and these are big services that will send out press releases for you for a fee ranging from about $380 to $750, depending on how much media you want sent out to, those services are okay, but your press release is bundled with a slew of other press releases and sent out there. I generally avoid those. We create our own list and go that way. But they do want what's called AP-style formatted press releases. My press releases are not that way. And generally because I want them to look different and want them to stand out a bit. So there is an AP style that I could email some samples, you know, to people to look at, or there's things on the net where we would explain them to you. But mainly it's just make sure you have, like, for immediate release on the top, have a bold headline in much bigger font, and then have short paragraphs telling your story. I always put the contact information at the very bottom of the press release. Most companies put it at the top. I feel that's a mistake because I want to keep that geography to tell my story. They can always find out how to contact me at the bottom. But I want to grab the top of that press release to grab them, to give them the information they need. Yeah, go ahead, back there. You don't want to go overly simplistic, but not so much on the press release, but when someone's doing an interview, I always tell them to pretend they're talking to a 13-year-old. And also, if you pretend you're talking to a kid and you get yourself in the mindset of the way you'd speak to a kid, you're going to speak much more enthusiastically. You're going to have a lot more energy in it, and you need that. So go ahead, in the back. Right. 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 I would go right at it, and I would create a list of the top 7 or 10 myths, because the media loves myths. And because that would be fascinating, because the preconceived ideas, they don't really know your world. They assume there's, like you said, there are going to be all these preconceived ideas of what it is. So this would be a way to give them a glimpse into this is what this really is. No. It's if you preach to the media, it's a terrible way to go. But if you can educate them, what you want to do is basically this word that started to float around, edutainment. So that you are educating them, but you're giving them part of what they need as well. So if you give them myths, then you debunk those myths. That can be a story. But make them, give them some of the basic myths that you'd think of that they would probably understand. Put a couple in there that they just wouldn't know. Put a couple in there that they're going to go, wow, I hadn't thought of that. You know, so that you're bringing them to a different type of story. So, because I'm sure that there's stuff that you confront that they just wouldn't think about. And then make it a number. The top seven myths. And make that your lead. And then you can start to... Go ahead, Becca. Right. I'd go to Susan. And if Susan didn't work, then I'd go to her editor. But I'd go to Susan, and I would because with a press release, if you can, especially if it's someone who you know or you know some of their work, send a very short cover letter letting her know that. Because you have no idea how few times the media people contact them and say, I know your work, I've enjoyed your work. They get really stroked by that. So if you have a writer that you either know or you followed their work, let them know that, and let them know that knowing their work, you believe this is a perfect story for them. I just pitched a story to the LA Times. It was exactly that. I've just read this writer's work for a while, and I had an idea that I thought would work for her specifically, even more than I thought it would work for the LA Times in general, and went specifically to her, telling her, you know, how much I enjoyed her work, why I thought this was a good story for her. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, she got back to me within 2 days, you know, thanking me for it and telling me that she'd be thinking about it. So, yeah, definitely go to the specifics. If the specific doesn't work, then go to their editor. Yes, over here. Right. There's a couple of different issues here. It's difficult a lot of times to pitch a story that has a specific date or timeline. For example, press conferences I try to stay away from unless we have a really, really strong motivating factor. And this is kind of sick, but this we are representing these attorneys that represented one of the Hollywood clubs where Lindsay Lohan was supposedly at. I don't know, the last time she got into an accident. So we did a press conference on, is it the clubs, whose responsibility is it to make sure that underage people don't drink? Because we attached Lindsay Lohan to the story, we got everybody. I mean, we got CNN, we got AP, we got ABC, we got Inside Edition, we got CBS, Fox, everyone was there. We'd taken Lindsay Lohan out of that story, we wouldn't have gotten the Daily Breeze. I mean, so the trouble is, if you're pitching a specific event, if they don't show up at that event, then you've more or less lost it. So pitch the event, but also pitch them how they can cover this story if they cannot make it to this event. Make it so that they don't, you want them there, and you're pitching to get them there, and yes, spend more time on the, make it a headline, and then make it a sub, find a subhead as well, right underneath the headline. So really pitch that, but don't put all your eggs in the fact that if they don't go to that event, they've lost the story. Pitch it that we really want you at the event. This event is extremely important. This event is extremely compelling. We want you there. If you can't make it, here's another way that we can give you this story. So that it's... you would generally... I wouldn't put that in the release, but I would put that in the follow-up phone call. And in the phone call, in the release, you want it to be, you've got to come to this event. because you don't want to give them the out in that. But if you're calling them and then you can find, if you start feeling they're not coming to this, just say, look, we'd love to have you to this event, but if you can't be there, you can also interview so-and-so and so-and-so, and this is a much more evergreen story that we could talk about the event, but we can also talk about the issues outside of the event so that they don't feel, if we haven't been there, forget it, we're not doing the story. It's if we can get there, that's great. If not, we have another option and we can still cover this. Go ahead. Here, friend. Okay. Thank you. Right, and you're right that the media does. The media wants the easiest story they can tell, and the easiest story they can tell is usually the story that's been told before. But you can slowly start to move that center line. The media will bring in their villains. Let the media bring in the villain. Don't be the one to bring him in. Let them bring him in, and then slowly start going the direction you were just going here, and move it. But I would, you know, I know you said, you know, you don't want to be positioned as a superhero, but you do want to be positioned as an expert. Because if they see you as an expert, they're going to start coming to you. You know, and that's generally with all of my clients, I try to get them to position and brand themselves as much as they do their company or their service. And I usually use Steve Jobs and Apple and IBM as the example. Because if I say IBM to anybody and say, okay, throw out a name, almost no one I've talked to had a name they could throw out. But if I said Apple, it was always Steve Jobs. Because Steve Jobs has branded himself as strongly as he's branded his company. Now, by doing that, he can do interviews on trends. He can do interviews on stuff that has nothing to do with his products. But every time that he's interviewed, you're thinking Apple, you're thinking Pixar, you're thinking about his companies. And that's a brilliant way to go. And it also gives the media an expert to go to. And that's one of the most important things you want to establish, whether it's you or if it's whether someone in your organization is that go-to person where suddenly if the media comes up with an issue that are dealing with topics that this organization can address, that they'll go to this organization because they've gotten good interviews in the past, they've gotten good information. So, you know, I understand the superhero thing can be uncomfortable, but work to brand it as an expert, as a go-to person. Go ahead, in the back there. Yeah. You got it. Well, yeah, you want to give them the words. You want to talk to them in the language that they understand to begin with, and then start moving them to the story that you want to tell them. But if you pitch it too esoterically for them, they're going to miss it. So do use the buzzwords that you know that they understand, and then do come in as an educator and explain what they have wrong or what they have right or what issues aren't being addressed. Go ahead. Well, you don't need to feed them negativity, but you can go back to those myths and preconceived ideas and then reposition and re-explain and reframe them so that you don't want to take a preconceived negative idea and hammer that more firmly into reality, but you do want to use their starting point to grab their interest and then move them to another place. And you can do that in front here, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. It would if it were, I wouldn't send a fictional story. If you can find, but if you can find a person or people who illustrate that fact, yeah. Because if the media is interested, generally their first or second question is going to be, can I interview that person? You know, so that's, And that's a great question, because those are your stories. Your stories are those human interest. It's funny, I work with a lot of physicians, and the biggest thing I need to teach them is that their stories aren't their expertise. Their stories are their patients. You know, their stories are their patients and their recovery, and that's the human interest story. So any story like the type of story that you were talking about, those are the stories that grab the media. Those are the ones, but they're going to want to, 9 times out of 10, if they're going to do it, they're going to want to either follow that person, get a sense of it, or at least do a phone interview with that person. So make sure when you pitch them that if you were pitching stories about individual people and either what they've overcome or what they've achieved, that those people are going to be available to be interviewed, or the media is going to go, no thanks, and move on. Go ahead in front here. Yeah. It's, and those are the kind of stories that the media likes. If you notice, generally it will be something like a Katrina or the fire, where they have tagged it on to a bigger story to illustrate, because generally it's the specific illustrates the general. So to explain how horrific Katrina was, it's a much better story to follow a particular family or couple and show the struggles that they went through, because people can identify with that. The same with the fires. Now, I like your idea. What you need to position is, what is the context that you're going to pitch this in? It's where the challenge would be, and it's doable, but figuring out who you're going to pitch, why you're going to pitch them, why they're the person they should follow, what exact story they illustrate, what problems and maybe solutions that we can learn from this, kind of drill down from point one, from A to Z, of what makes this the compelling story. Going back to the long-term health care center, we did that with a couple of patients there. who had very compelling stories showing what their lives were like and the problems they had to deal with. And it took some time, but we found stories that were compelling enough, and then we were persistent enough to go to the right media to show them that these stories were not only compelling, but these stories were educating. They illustrated certain points. They showed preconceived ideas, so that this one pitch kind of satisfies this whole list of media needs. So the first thing is finding what is that story. Who is that person that really illustrates? And you do, you know, be it good or bad, you do want the story to be as compelling and dramatic as possible, because that's what they're going to look for. Take a couple of more in front here. Right. Tell that story. You know, I mean, that is a story. You know, and that's and then if you, I would tell that story and come up with five other equally compelling and equally kind of illuminating stories of what the general, because you always look at the big bad government, the big bad whatever, and you miss those small continual misconceived ideas, which I'm sure are much bigger overall because you're confronting them on a daily basis. So come up with five of those that are as compelling as that one, and you know, and really hit them home. So because that would grab somebody's attention. Go ahead, in front. I think you sell that in small steps, and it's generally going to be starting from one of the misconceived ideas of, oh, they're able to do this, they're able to do that, how special that is. But if you see enough of those stories, then it becomes, this isn't special, this is how they live. You know, this is them. But it would have to be an incremental, slow step process where I would look at that as an overall campaign where the aim of the campaign is to end up at the objective that you stated, but that there's going to be steps to get there. You're not going to do that on one press release or one story. You're going to do that with a series of stories that illustrate that point. On something that large, you'd need to go to different media. You'd need to get one to cover one story, and then that's something I didn't touch on. After you get one story, use that story. Use that story to get your second story. Use those two to get your, you know, TV spot. But a lot of people get media, and they don't use that media to go other places. So as you get media, use it. And when you're pitching yourself or you're pitching the organization, mention the other media you've been in. I mean, the media, they have a real lemming mentality. And so use that. As you get media, use your media. And I can take one more question. Then I've, go ahead, in the back over here, you haven't asked. You could. I'd get rid of the word little. But you would want to make it seven ways that the media or the general public wouldn't generally think of. You need to give them something where they're saying, "Oh, I didn't know that. You know, I wouldn't have thought of that." So where you're trying to normalize the situation, remember, you still need to give them that story where they're thinking, where you're trying to say this is normal, they've got to see this is different, for at least from our perspective. So present it with the seven ways, you know, like you were talking about, scratch the word little, and come up with some that they wouldn't have thought of. You know, something that makes like, what you want is that aha moment that the media gets, that I didn't know that, or this would be of interest to, you know, whatever. And then also keep in mind when pitching the media, if there are stories that are very specific to certain type of media, if there's women's stories, you know, then you can go to the women's magazines. If they're trend stories, you go to the more pop culture magazines. If it's a local story, you go to your local media. So within the context of the story, then drill down to the specific media that you're going to, like the Daily News in Los Angeles. The Daily News kind of presents itself as a Los Angeles newspaper, but it's a Valley newspaper. And if I don't attach a Valley story when I pitch that paper, it's not going to go. And, you know, I've had arguments with them about it, but what for? They're never really going to be able to position themselves as an LA paper if they're based there. But since I know that's true, I'm going to look for a Valley angle before I pitch that. You know, however far afield I've got to go to find it. So keep that in mind when pitching the media. What are their needs? If it's a women's magazine, you need a women's issue. You need to tie that in. You need the woman to be the focal point of the story. Look at all of the obvious issues that you know you're going to confront and go ahead and deal with them first, because it's going to make life a lot more easier. And remember that it's going to be the story. It's going to be that headline. Follow-up calls are incredibly important. If you get a no, you're getting a no to that particular story. You're not getting a no to your overall stories. Keep drilling down, finding other stories. And I'm sure there are some amazingly good stories. I mean, just a little that you've told me, stuff here that the media would contact. And thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate your coming here. It was great to have you come, and I'm sure we all learned some wonderful ideas from your talk.
Can we give them our emails?
Yes, I've got his email address. Do you want me to send it out to folks, or would you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
that's
okay.
No, that's perfectly fine.
Maybe in the subject line if they put CCB or something.
Yeah, yeah. In the subject line so I don't hit my delete button. All right, well, thank you all very much.
Thank you. There are a couple of items I wanted to bring up to folks. One, it's toward the end of the year, and Jeff, of course, starts putting his committees together for the next year. So if any of you are interested in membership or PR, please let him know that you'd like to serve on those committees. Another thing I wanted to remind you is if your chapter does not have a current constitution and bylaw, into the state office, please make sure your chapter sends their most current constitution and bylaws, because the state office would like to have copies of those. Yeah, if you're not sure, just ask, call Ed or Diana and ask if there is a copy there. Ken and Rhonda, is there anything else we wanted to mention this morning?
just didn't have the time to do with work, and he's really been a great person to. She always comes in to help out. I'll tell you, she doesn't care what group it is, she's always there to help. And I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate all of you coming. I know it was kind of a last a minute thing because unfortunately, when you went, people that are really busy people sometimes they can't always let you know real quickly. So I was glad to get him at the last minute, and I was glad that I could find someone that was so great. So. Rhonda, did you have anything to add?
No, I was just going to talk about the
One more thing I just thought of is if any of you, the chapters need assistance with membership ideas or membership materials or anything, please contact either Rhonda or myself, and we'd be glad to either send someone from our committee to your chapter to talk to you or just send you some ideas on paper, on email, etc. So... Okay, well, thank you, everyone, again.